whether we like it or not, whether we feel it to be palatable or not to our liberal intellectual sensibilities, is the goddamn problem. It is, in fact, pedophilia, which appears to be the Achilles heel of the so-called deep state. But the point is that you and I, in the now, are equipped to do something about it by placing our attention on the subject and by mustering whatever reserves and resources we can to address this. And it is time that we all paid some attention to it in order to lance this civilizational boil.
Alzheimer's and dementia are the most misunderstood, cruelest, and costly of all diseases. Dementia starts 30 to 50 years before symptoms appear. Every 3 seconds, someone gets diagnosed. 10% at age 65, 25% at age 75, and 50% at age 85 will be diagnosed. But symptoms are reversible despite what conventional medicine will tell you. Research has conclusively shown that what you do or don't do in your middle years can greatly impact your risk of Alzheimer's. Make simple changes discussed in the free 26-page report available below. You will also be signed up for the free summit when you download this free report. You will learn the best foods, herbs, and supplements for brain health. And by following these, it will dramatically reduce the chance you'll end up with this devastating issue. Take action now before memory loss is irreversible. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Sasha Stone coming to the program. He's the one that started the International Tribunal for Natural Justice, and they put together a commission to the inquiry of human trafficking and child sex abuse. And they have been making huge progress at bringing together high-level officials from all over the world to share what they have experienced with human trafficking and ritual child abuse and all sorts of the underground world in that arena. It is much more prevalent than people are aware of. We're talking hundreds of thousands of children a year, and the human trafficking and organ trafficking has really ratcheted up. And so they are really taking on this cause and bringing it to the forefront. They just had an open inquiry on with their commission with witnesses from all over the place. There's videos out there that they put together, but I wanted to talk to Sasha Stone. He is the mastermind at putting this whole program together. I want to find out what their intention is, what they plan to do going forward. I know they want to educate people. They want the world to know about this, and they want to eradicate it. And they want to do it in a sophisticated way that actually gets it done, that doesn't impede itself, that doesn't step over itself. So he is going to enlighten us, and I don't want to take much more time. Let's get into the interview now with Sasha Stone. Hi, Sasha. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Good to be with you. Thank you.
You are doing an amazing initiative, international initiative for children, which is so badly needed, called the International Tribunal for Natural Justice. Can you tell me why you're doing it and what you hope to achieve?
Well, let me clarify. The initiative is called the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into Human Trafficking and Child Sex Abuse, but that's being presided over by the International Tribunal for Natural Justice, just to clarify that point. The Judicial Commission of Inquiry into trafficking and child abuse is the tip of the spear that the International Tribunal has picked up and is now wielding against the elements within the establishment, let's say, which have gone not just rogue, but diabolically so. And we made a determination some time ago that if we are serious about the matter of restoration of law and order and all the rest of that blah, blah, civilizational blah, blah, then we had to really address the darkest story in the basement. And it's palpable to those of us in frontline activism and frontline research that all roads lead to Rome, and there's no pun intended. We're talking about diabolical aspects generationally taking place within the churches. Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventism, Jehovah's Witness, the Roman Catholic Church proper, and a great many others besides. But the children and sacrifice of innocence, whether we like it or not, whether we feel it to be palatable or not to our liberal intellectual sensibilities, is the goddamn problem. And as our chief counsel, Robert David Steele, has made gone to great lengths to point out, it is in fact pedophilia which appears to be the Achilles heel of the so-called deep state. But that opens up a colossal storyline of generational abuses, sequestered knowledge, occultic shenanigans, secret societies, all the rest of it. And if you really get into it, it goes back a very, very long way. That's not the point. The point is that you and I, in the now, are equipped to do something about it by placing our attention on the subject and by mustering whatever reserves and resources we can to address this. Why? Because it is a fact that thousands, tens of thousands, scores of thousands, more than likely hundreds of thousands and millions of children, young people, and men, women, and children in the normal sense are being trafficked, modern slavery, all the way down to pornography, to ritual sacrifice, and heart organ harvesting, and so on and so on. As I said, Sarah, the ugliest story in the basement, and it is time that we all paid some attention to it in order to lance this civilizational boil.
So do you think that the churches, do they hide behind this beautiful story of caring and love, only to turn around and hurt people?
I mean, it's such a multifaceted and hybrid story that there's no one answer to that question. There are people within the church who are foundationally brilliant and wonderful and perfectly tasked to be pastors and priests and vicars and chaplains and all the rest of it, and they are there for the best intentions and signed up with the best of intentions. There are also those who hide behind the seal of St. Peter's and behind the mask of the church and the probity and integrity that we're supposed to imbue the church with. And they do so because it is a safe haven for them to be able to conduct their Luciferian and Babylonian practices. Of ritual child abuse, ritual satanic abuse, and so on and so on. So it's not a one-size-fits-all answer to the story, much as it would be comfortable to be able to give you one answer. There are such good people in the church. I mean, one of our commissioners, as you must know, is His Grace Bishop Ria Abuelasal from Jerusalem, who's in his 80s. And this is an extraordinary man who's been frontline activist in human rights issues for years, decades, many decades. It's only very recent that Bishop Ria woke up to the horrors of what's been going on in the basement in sequestered, compartmentalized echelons within his own church. And of course, he is aghast and horrified at his great age to learn that he has been presiding in a church and over a church for decades, completely unwitting to what's going on in some areas within that basement. So this business of disclosure and revelation is a multifaceted creature, and it has to be approached with a great deal of intelligence, a very fluid intelligence. You can't have a fixed conceptual framework walking into this with a kind of right, wrong, good, evil dialectic going on in your brain, or you'll fail at the first obstacle.
Are you having trouble losing weight? It could be due to insulin levels that are out of balance. Learn what fat-flushing food helps balance your insulin levels. It's basically a hormone that determines how much fat your body stores. Over 240,000 women have successfully melted unwanted fat off their body fast, faster than you would think possible, keeping it off for good. Learn how so many people have melted fat so quickly. Click the link below. And why would you say that? Why
do you say that you can't have a right or wrong view on this? Because most of us would go, pedophilia and ritual sacrifice abuse is wrong. You say there's some gray?
That's not what I'm talking about. Obviously.
No, I know. So that's why I just want you to clarify.
Obviously, the primary focus is a matter of universal morality and universal ethics. So we know what is right and what is wrong in that context. But I'm talking about demonizing the entire church. I am not a practicing Christian. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I am what I'd like to believe, a somewhat spiritualized human being who holds a certain sanctity. All religious myths, and they were all, each man in his own way, in his own time. Put it that way. That's my universalist view. I don't feel the need to revert to a gospel or to a scripture and what have you, or to enter a synagogue, a temple, or a mosque, nor will I ever do so. But that is not to say that I don't ascribe to the core Christian ethics, which I absolutely do, as indeed I do to the core Islamic ethics, having studied them at great length over many years, all schools of Islam. And I understand the foundational metric there, which is almost impossible to separate from the core Christian moralistic ethic. But again, like you can talk about fundamentalist Christianity, you can talk about moderate Christianity, you can talk about far left-wing a liberalist Christianity, where they're completely accepting of lesbians and gays and midgets and all sorts. It doesn't matter what you do or who you do it to. It's all acceptable within this new faux Christian metric. I find that repugnant, just as repugnant as I find that right-wing fascistic so-called redneck Christianity can be just as debilitating, because it holds to a conceptual framework that is not flexible. It's an entrapment. And there you've got conflict, and there you've got war, crusades, and all the rest of it. So I'm just suggesting that you can't go into these questions and demonize the entire church and all bishops and all people wearing robes. That is foundationally dangerous and will end up with lynch mobs on the streets.
Well, yeah? and not to mention that people won't believe you, because they know that there's a lot of beauty and love in the church, and there are a lot of great people. And so that doesn't mean there isn't that. It just means there's something else going on as well.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. But the point is this. I don't agree with costumes. I don't agree with seals of office. I don't agree with governments, with fictions, with corporations masquerading as governments. I don't personally ascribe to any of that bullshit, nor do I want it to contaminate my free will, my sovereign expression. But at the same time, I will pay attention to protocol. I will refer to a bishop as His Grace, because that is the protocol. I've got no problem with acknowledging protocol, because for me, this is a language of mediation and arbitrage. We have to be intelligent, mindful, and not try to be disruptive unnecessarily. And this is all I'm speaking to, the need for us to be able to walk the indivisible line between the old and the new. Just mindful, measuring and weighing all of our own words and deeds. Trying to make sense of this civilizational dystopia that all of us are experiencing right now.
And the issue is too important, right? So I think that's what you're getting at, is it's too important that we do this right, or that we accomplish something here, that we have to be careful and we have to be respectful and we have to acknowledge more than just being black and white on the issue.
Yes, we do, Sarah. And having spoken at great lengths to so many very brilliant academics and experts in the area of criminology and psychotherapy and so on, as well as people who understand, experts in the understanding of remedy in law and lawfulness, I've come to understand that it's so important to approach all of life with a sense of absolution and forgiveness and redemption in the way we conduct ourselves. In the last few weeks, since the somewhat historic and pioneering seatings of the Judicial Commission of Inquiry in Westminster, we've been assailed. I've certainly been, and our Chief Justice has been, and a couple of our other core team have been assailed by grassroots calling us out as being a controlled opposition, a controlled narrative, that we're apologists for pedophiles and racketeers, and trying to create a soft exit for pedophiles, because we inaugurated this judicial commission of inquiry by calling for it in a spirit of absolution, forgiveness, and redemption. But again, that's just a reductive, stupid attitude to what we were saying. We were saying in inaugurating the Westminster seatings that we will conduct this judicial commission of inquiry in a spirit of forgiveness, redemption, and absolution. Not that we're going to let anyone off. It's not our job to let them off or not let them off. Our job is to conduct a commission of inquiry in a spirit of grace, probity, and integrity. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we intend to do. But that does not mean we're being apologists. It does mean, however, that if we instantly demonize all parliamentarians because a handful of them are now found out to have been involved in a paedophile ring, or if we demonize all Roman Catholics because we discovered that paedophilia generationally has been endemic within the Roman Catholic Church, if we do things like that and make those kinds of classifications, we are playing absolutely into the bipolar dialectic of conflict and war, where remedy will never be found and no resolution will ever come to any of the victims or the survivors. So we are doing what we're doing in honor and in grace, and will continue to do so. And I will say it again here and now, in the spirit of good old-fashioned redemption, absolution, and forgiveness, because that is the highest calling each of us can engage upon within our own hearts.
Wouldn't you say you want everyone to help join this fight? You want the people in the Catholic, the Christian church, the Muslim churches, synagogues, to join this fight. And if we accuse everyone of being part of it, then it weakens us. We want every person. The only person that would be against this would be the people involved. Anybody that wakes up would be want to. Go ahead.
You see, this is the bizarre thing. You will discover that there are people, perpetrators, who want to get the hell out of these Saturnian.
So it's even more than what I'm saying. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's so everybody who's not involved, plus some of those that are involved.
Yes.
I mean, we want to bring them all in. We want all the soldiers to come in and fight with us.
Yes, we do. Those, in fact, the disclosure, the true revelation element, and the true disclosure element will come from those who are practicing and who are then whistleblowing and really crossing that line. But they will only do so if they feel that they're able to approach that line, that there is some kind of a forum within which truth and disclosure can take place. And this is how it always happens with revolutions anyway. When lesser minions can blow the whistle on the higher echelons. And we have to create that safe space and that safe forum. That's what we're dealing with right now. I'm not having much fun in life, spending hours every day, possibly 6 to 8 hours every day. I'm on screen with our deputy, our registrar, our trustees and commissioners coming in once or twice a week. I'm doing it every day with some of the core team. We're meeting with endless witnesses and people giving testimony, some of them from the military, some of them from the intelligence community, some of them from the different churches, and some of them very, very, most of them high ranking, and certainly all of them expert in their arena. And they're coming forward, not only doing so, because we've created that space that is safe for them to do so.
Do you really see a sea change coming? Do you feel it?
I do. I think that the sea change is underway, absolutely. I think it's been underway for a very, very long time. Personally, I think that the Helsinki summit that just occurred a few days ago with Trump and Putin, and of course I'll be railed against for having this opinion by reductive political pundits, but my view is what was stated categorically, in my view, by the two most powerful men in the world, absent Xi Jinping from China, who is also one of their friends, they've agreed to effectively rout out that basement. I don't believe I'm being naive in this at all. I believe I'm one of those pundits who is so at the front line and so connected to so many different sources that I feel very equipped to make this statement. Of course, I understand the reasons to disbelieve in the Trump administration or in the Putin administration and think that they are agents themselves of this arcane Jesuiticism, which to some extent they are. In Putin's case, he was bred for purpose, you know, financed but through the back door by the Sabbatean, Lurian, Kabbalistic Zionists out of Israel. They were absolutely fine. They financed the goddamn Bolshevik Revolution. We all know that. They financed everything up to and including Boris Berezovsky and the handlers who groomed Putin through the KGB and then into office. The difference is that he had a lucid moment of humanity and elected to take charge himself and cut himself off from that backroom channel when he exiled all the oligarchs out of Russia and took control of the nation. In the last few years, he's been doing an extraordinary job, in my view. It's not been a comfortable ride for many of the liberal intellectuals and the wealthy elites of Russia because they've had much of their fame and fortune and privilege collapsed as a result of Putin needing to jump that horse and ride it and contain it and keep it away from this globalist, monotheistic globalist takeover that has been engineered, as I said, through the back door of Israel. And this is clear to anyone who understands the realpolitik. But Putin has managed to hold the Russian state back from that globalist Soros, Khazarian mafia takeover. And from what I can see, the Trump administration is doing much the same. Of course, keeping Israel on side and keeping Wall Street on side and keeping the military on side in the meantime. Stick around and see what happens after midterm. It's going to get very interesting. But the point is that they appear through this Helsinki summit to have been unified in their mission and purpose of routing out that element within the deep state. And this does have everything to do with these 30,000 emails on the Clinton servers. It has everything to do with the 40,000, alleged 40,000 sealed indictments in Washington. So there's some real mathematics that's going to be emerging in the coming days on the back of Putin and Trump both saying categorically that they're about to look into that, and that's going to be revealed.
Do you think that the election, the midterm elections, with the Democrats so hell-bent on impeaching Trump and taking over the Congress, do you think that that's going to happen? And if it does happen, what do you see?
I'm not clever enough and not savvy enough in contemporaneous U.S. politics to be able to make that statement. I'm looking at it more from a kind of a planetary view, looking at what archetypally what's going on with the China, Russia, you know, Europe and North America. All I know is that Trump has exacted a certain presidential executive orders which stand up to my scrutiny. And I am thoroughly overjoyed that those enactments have taken place on paper. I mean, dissolving NAFTA and things like that were seminal. That was where the globalist blood, you know, artery, main artery was going to be flowing. The statutory collapsing of governments in Central South America, Asia and Africa and the developing nations of the world were about to be completely collapsed into, again, a kind of monoculture statutory obligation where corporations could overrule a sovereign nation states and their determinations. What a disgusting conception that Barack Obama and the Clinton-Bush criminal cartel have been fostering and incubating and engineering for decades. And yet our liberal intellectual morons, coast to coast in the United States, fail to get that. Why? Because they're drunk on goddamn champagne and eating too many canapes to pay attention to what's going on. They're enchanted or intoxicated to Rachel Maddow and Whoopi Goldberg and their leftist bullshit to be able to pay any attention whatsoever to the real politic. Again, it infuriates me because so many of those liberal intellectuals are magnificent beings, amazingly enlightened human beings in so many ways. But there seems to be this extraordinary cognitive dissonance taking place amongst the very echelon that it most matters in which is that liberal intellectual echelon.
I agree 100%, and I've experienced it.
Let me just sign off by saying that I was urged years ago by a very good friend of mine who was a theologian in Cambridge, and to this day a very dear friend. And he warned me years ago, well over 10 years ago, he said, Sasha, I see your frustrations and I see where you see the world going with this globalist rollout, but don't underestimate the pulse of the common people of Midwest America. He said, because that is where the flame of truth resides, and at the appropriate time, the heat of that flame will make itself felt. Well, he was bang on, because that was the thing that disrupted the mind control program in the elections and swept Donald Trump into power. It was the emergence of that extraordinary collective, almost unconscious collective pulse of Midwest America that knew it was being utterly violated by these globalist Saturnian, Luciferian elements. And it just threw it off its back. Boom! And in came the buffoon, who happens to be a damn good human being, in my view, deeply compromised in many ways, no doubt. How do you get to make $1 billion without being compromised, for God's sake? But a human being nonetheless, and not a blood-gargling Satanist and child molester, and that's the only thing that matters to me, frankly.
I agree with you. There's levels of corruption. What do you need to keep your organization flourishing and get done what you need to get done?
Honestly, it's happening either which way. We don't rely on the public purse. We get a few donations in from some lovely people.
Sharing
your videos?
I don't know
what it equates to, but I'm told it equates. Yeah, exactly. So we're not relying on the public purse. We are doing what we're doing because it needs to happen. It would be delightful to be able to do it more fluidly and more empowered financially. But that happens as and when it happens. I'm not soliciting money. I don't wish to. The committee that supports the International Tribunal to some extent does invite donations, and that equates to about 5 to 8% of the operational cost. The rest are being borne by the man you're looking at and a few good friends. And we'll continue to do that because this is not about money. We are living, fortunately, at a time when we're able to virtually, and actually we're doing that right now. We did the Westminster seatings. This is the report that comes off the back of the Westminster meetings, and that report is already in the hands of powerful people all around the world, in the intelligence community, world leaders, parliamentarians, religious figures, you name it, receiving that. And that's comprehensive testimonies, affidavits of truth, and some real facts relating to the historic and generational problem of human trafficking and child sex abuse, a.k.a. Canaanite ritualism in the 21st century. So reports out either which way, Sarah. We get them in the hands of those that need to get them. We are now conducting virtual court seating on a constant rollover basis. I have a few of them, but certainly not most. And those are being to the right networks as appropriate. One of our videos we know hit well over 1 million views in the last fortnight, which is delightful. So we know that we are now counting viewers in the millions, the many millions, because we've been cut and paste our video testimonies to so many important networks out there. We've become quite decentralized. So far we're succeeding. And it's just about, again, it's about restoring the balance of disinformation and non-information, getting people to accept and understand that this stuff is old, it's arcane, it's gone on for a very long time, and that if we simply place our attention on it, it will completely evaporate, because the perpetrators are few. They may number the thousands and the tens of thousands, but it's no more than that. We are billions, hundreds of millions, but we are so mind-fucked. Excuse the expression, but it's a contemporary expression, and I mean it. We are utterly mind-fucked, and this is the problem. We are drunk on the civilizational and cultural and religious dream spells. Some of us, even with religions, are able to see through the dream spell and still practice our faith. That's beautiful. But most people are not. They're attuned into their faith, and their faith has become weaponized, whether it's Christianity or Islam or whatever it is. The point is that each of us need to pull our head out of the proverbial sand and really begin to attune ourselves, not with the pornography of trivia that prevails on billboards and television screens, but to begin to really say, you know what, I'm going to allocate just a little bit of time every week to step into my discomfort zone and start to look at the truth of certain things and be equal to redefining, reorienting my contextual framework accordingly. That is where the flame of truth becomes a firestorm that will completely transmute the Babylonian basement that we're still living in accordance with. And it will transmute that arcane metric into a new revelation, which we've been calling the New Earth for a long time. And no, it's not a goddamn cult. It's a metric of sovereign, conscious people engaging life with creativity and a sense of real purpose and not simply being wage slaves.
So what should Richard do? Should we share these videos? Should we do what we can to get this word out? And because that's something that everybody wants to feel like they can contribute. And I would say the best way to contribute is just to simply help share the information.
I think that's it. For me, this is absolutely it. And to cohere our flame to the greater flame and to contribute to that affirmative, creative, expansive communication, but not to go in with a goddamn armchair opinion. You know, who cares what Mabel in suburbia thinks about whether or not the church is involved? You know, she's sitting in a, you know, in an armchair with lace doilies, for God's sake. You know, she's only been out of the country once in her life, and that was, you know, when 27 years ago. This is not someone who understands anything about the Babylonian history or basement. So why have an opinion on Facebook and or social media? And why bother to add your voice to the white noise if you are not learned in something? Truly. So I would suggest the greatest thing people can do is shut up and not contribute to the white noise if they are not expert and have firsthand experience in a given a subject. That would truly help, because the dissipation of that white noise will help for the truth to avail a lot quicker. But right now, social media has been hijacked and co-opted by moronic and vacuous punditry. Coming from people's armchairs with remote control viewers. And that's not helpful for cause at all.
Well, thank you so much. Where can they look for this information?
Well, forgive me, you'd have to ask one of the clever people on team, but let me just look at the report.
But don't, I can get it from you after this and I'll put it up on the screen.
I think www.itnj.org is the primary one, but there's also a commission link. So we should make sure that our registrar gets the commission link to you, because people can go straight to that commission link, that portal, and see the 21 films that we released in Westminster. Some of it historic. We had the highest ranking police commissioner, giving testimony. We had Scotland Yard detectives giving testimony. We had, the most extraordinary testimonies there, and more coming. So I'd suggest that once people get to grips with the fact that the learning is fascinating, it's compelling, it's interesting stuff. Don't go to Netflix to watch another inane series. Go to the ITNJ commission portal, sit back and watch 21 living testimonies from extraordinary accomplished people and hear what they have to say about what they experienced and what they survived and what they escaped. That is interesting. And where those truths attune to the synthesis of your heart, then share it. Then stand on the rooftop and crow and tell the world. And we need to be unafraid to tell the world, friends and family alike. So many people contact me, and I mean on a daily basis, saying, oh, you know, so sympathetic with what you're doing. You know, I believe everything you're saying, but I can't possibly tell my family. So, I just kind of keep it to myself. And I'm like, well, that's really not helpful. That's really not helpful. I mean, I'm happy to put my face, my name, my, dollar on the line and take rocks at the head from trolls, which I do constantly. I'm happy to do that. But it would be nice to know that people in the sanctity of their own homes and living rooms would have just a little courage to be able to speak to family and friends and begin that process of enlightenment.
So what's coming next?
Well, the next is the next seatings, and we haven't made the determination where that is. They're two locations, two countries, and I'll be quite blunt with you. We're looking at the security implications of both to make that determination. So the next seatings, it won't be within the next few weeks. It'll be in months, not weeks, but the next seatings will take place, and it'll dial up the entire orchestra of what we've begun in Westminster a couple of months ago. It'll be dialed up. And to watch what we did in Westminster and to say that that could dial up is a hell of a statement for anyone who's seen what we've done.
Yes.
But yes, it's going to be dialing up. You bet it's going to be dialing up. And after that, there'll be a third seating most likely and then declaration event. And we anticipate that that will see the end of this commission of inquiry. And we would have done sufficient work in galvanizing a body of testimonies from multiple arenas around the world to be able to consolidate that into a unified picture or a holographic a kind of biopsy of what's going on and what's been going on so that we can now do something about it. If nothing more than place our attention upon it, which is ultimately the way we enlighten things by casting attention and bringing light to them through our own synthesis and attention.
Thank you so much for everything you're doing. I applaud all of you. And again, any way that I can help you. And that's all I can say. I mean, I'm humbled. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. It's very helpful being asked pointed questions that really chase the ball. Thank you very much. I really appreciate this.